Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
You know, sometimes your algorithm can be hit or miss. Sean, do you remember a clip that started to circulate maybe over a decade ago now where Tyler, the Creator, had a little girl next to him and he called her Esmeralda, and turns out the little girl was like, that's not my name. It's been around for a long time. It was back when he was just getting started with Odd Future. And then they pieced it together with a clip of that little girl graduating as a high schooler, like 10 years later, 11 years later, and he yells Esmeralda out at her again at the high school graduation. Turns out her name's like Chloe, and she's the daughter of his business manager. And she, of course, because he's Tyler, the Creator, he yells her name out at her graduation. And right below it, Chandler Rome has an article about the Astros' three burning questions. So while the first one really doesn't help the show, but it made me laugh to get ready for the show, the second one locks me into the show. Oh, yeah.
Dialed.
I could watch this clip of the passage of time over and over again, or we can talk about how the Astros have a burning question, or three of them, their team. And it made me think, is baseball the one sport where you can just openly have it out there that you are trying to desperately trade one of your potential starters, and he can just walk into camp and, hey, everything's fine. Like, if it happened, we know why we have Kevin Durant here. The Suns tried to trade him. They didn't get it done, and Kevin Durant said, okay, I'm out. If you try to trade a – now, Paredes isn't Kevin Durant-level star, but if you tried to trade a guy like Kevin Durant, if you don't get it done, you got to get rid of him. He's not going to come back and be happy. Paredes will just walk into camp and go like, you know what, guys? I know you tried to deal me off to the Red Sox. I'm good, right? No ill will. We don't expect Paredes to have a problem with his team just deciding he was the one who had to go. I just think I'd pay attention to that. I don't know his personality. I'm sure he'll just, because he's a baseball guy, get in the box and just be cool with it. I don't know if it'd fly in a different sport, but we'll see. The other burning question, at least mine, I don't know if it's in Chandler Rome's article, I just saw part of it, it was talking about the influx of infielders, is Josh Hader. If you missed it, Josh Hader is recovering from what is being called a capsule strain to his shoulder. This was diagnosed in August. Then I looked up how long recovery for a capsule strain takes, and of course the Astro pitcher has the longest recovery possible. In some cases, you can be back in weeks. Now, as far as recovered, of course, he's a baseball player. You got to do things. He is not on the path that other pitchers are right now currently to try to get themselves ready for spring training. He is behind schedule because we couldn't get it. We couldn't even get to, as the cool people say, P's and C's without an injury update to a prominent Astro pitcher. So right now, Josh Hader is working his way back. He's behind schedule as he tries to get himself ready for Astros baseball.
It is funny that, you know how basically as like the confetti's falling during the Super Bowl, there's always the like...
The baseball accounts.
Yeah, it's baseball
our time
season
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate those guys, by the way.
Yeah, of course, they're the worst. Because baseball doesn't actually start for another like month and a half.
Yeah, and we don't really even care about it till like June or July.
The way the Astros celebrate that is, here's an update on the injury of one of our star players.
It's true.
Taking longer than you thought.
Like on Sunday night, they were with all the other accounts, but then it got to their real business of telling us that one of our guys won't be ready for camp.
That's how we ring in, it's baseball's turn. Josh Hader's still throwing from flat ground and only at like 60% exertion. Okay, cool. Thanks.
So
I'm glad. I can't wait for 8 more months of this. Just different people's recovery timelines.
Yeah, we are going to be dealing. It's our own personal hell when it comes to the Astros. It's always someone, and this time it's your closer. As I said, this was August when it was diagnosed or seen that he had this issue. And we're going on 8 months. Actually, about 6. We're going about 6 months. August, 8th month of the year. We're in the second month of the new year. About 6 months. And we're still on a slow path to recovery. Hopefully, we're fine. Hopefully, Josh Hader will be fine. Hopefully, he'll be ready for the start of the year. I have my doubts, considering history. I just have my doubts.
Yeah, just body of work. Not even his history.
Yeah, I am talking about Astros history, not his history. Astros history suggests we're going to be talking about this deep into April, at least.
It's also just like, if this has to be the update on February 9th or whatever, things aren't going well.
No.
Things just like, if this is all part of the plan, hey, nothing to worry about. I don't think we'd be getting this update.
No, they got out ahead of it because if he wasn't doing the things he needed to, all the other pitchers were doing when they report and the Astros media was there, then there'd be a lot of questions to answer. I'm sure they'll have to answer them anyway. But now the media is prepared.
Yeah.
There won't be this shock and awe of Josh Hader not doing things a pitcher would normally be doing as they get themselves ready for camp as they report along with the catcher. So there it is. That's the news before Astro camp officially begins. Josh Hader slowly recovering from a capsule strain, a shoulder strain. It's great. I almost forgot what we were in for. This was a stark reminder.
Yeah, no, it's like, okay, yeah, forgot. It's baseball's time.
Yeah.
Time to learn that's about anatomy. I've never bothered.
I had to look up recovery times from a capsule strain.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that is what the Super Bowl means to me. Super Bowl's over. Now it's trying to decipher the recovery time for Astros.
Yeah, and lineup it's lineup construction and the construction of these people's ligaments and elbows and shoulders and knees and hands and
we got
obliques.
What do we got? A month of Dana Brown just out there saying stuff.
Yeah.
That has no
wearing a polo.
Yeah. Just saying stuff because he's got to say stuff. He's got to answer questions. And that's what we're in for over the next month or so at month plus as we get closer and closer to the regular season. So there it is. Josh Hader. We will see on that. We'll go to break. We'll come back with, you know, this only happens when you don't have a quarterback, really, because teams who do have quarterbacks that we're all confident in don't have articles written by Albert Breer and the speculations surrounding their status, whether they have a future with your team. And it's not just coming from media members. Apparently, people in the NFL are questioning the future of C.J. Stroud with the Texans. So we'll get to that when we come back. Of course, you can join us, 713-780-3776. We will play some secret audio because a NBA star made a definitive statement about the fight between the Hornets and the Pistons. Because streaming is a thing, this star has a stream, and he played a clip of the fight and then made a statement. So Sean and I will investigate what a certain NBA star said, because maybe he's right. Because what happened in that Piston-Hornets fight was disrespectful. What Jalen Duren did to Diabate was disrespectful. And we'll hear from Jaylen Brown on what the response should be when someone does what Duren did to Diabate. So we'll get to that. We will hear KD with Hakeem Olajuwon. We'll also hear KD in a, let's say, a discussion with an Oklahoma City fan during that Rockets win. And we'll see if this becomes a staple of the show and how we implement it going forward. So we got a lot to get to. As I said, the number is 713-780-3776. First segment out of the way. We will be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, Albert Breer, who wrote, of course, about the Super Bowl, but he did get into some non-Super Bowl related things, particularly quarterbacks. And while no one here thinks there will be any real discussion about CJ not being a Texan in 2026, apparently teams outside of the city do. Those are questions being asked by teams in this league, not named the Texans. Of course, the Texans, the most important team as far as determining where CJ is going to be. But, you know, we all know the contract, what he could possibly sign for, what quarterbacks generally ask for who have any acclaim, have done anything in the league, and are considered franchise quarterbacks, they ask for it all. And there is some negotiation. The Cowboys took forever to get Dak done. If you've got an injury history, that can affect how much you make. But even a guy who had a two-year spurt with Mike McDaniel, Tua, got himself $50-plus million. Now the Dolphins are dealing with the consequences of that with the new regime in place and questions about how much would they have to give another team to trade him, because the cap hit's going to be enormous for this season if they cut him. So these are the type of questions that teams have to ask themselves. And what are the questions other teams are asking? Would the Texans punt this to next year, which I think we see as the case? Of course, the sticky part of it is Will Anderson is another guy they have to consider paying, and he is far and away, if we're going to make a choice about who's getting paid this offseason, Will Anderson is that guy. And how does that affect CJ and his agent if Will Anderson's getting his money, a guy who got drafted behind him in the same draft? So that's what teams are looking at. Will the Texans actually negotiate in a way where it gets contentious because they don't agree with what David Mulligan and CJ are looking for? And does that lead to animus and a potential negotiation where your quarterback is no longer happy in Houston? I think those are great questions for other teams to ask. I don't think it gets there. The Texans don't feel like a team who has the appetite to make their quarterback sweat. The most sweating they may do is to simply not give him all the money this offseason. But I think if CJ shows any signs of progress in 2026, they're going to give him a big deal. He's one of their cornerstones, even if he didn't play like it in the playoffs. Who would they tell? What examples do we have of them going, you know what? Nah. Generally, those guys of that tier, even if we question what tier they're in, get their money. Of course, Derek Stingley, there are no questions. They got fortunate with Nico Collins. That seemed like an easy negotiation. He's probably undervalued as he goes forward. He's a receiver, so it could always be a negotiation. But he's under contract. Of course, Jalen Petrie's under contract. I think whenever Will Anderson gets his, there won't be much fight there. The real question will be, with Nick Caserio, as we found out yesterday, he does not have a contract extension. That might come this offseason, but he doesn't have one. So this will be a big offseason for him in multiple ways. Will Nick Caserio get into a real negotiation? Will he pull over Frel Stone where he goes, you know what? Your performance suggests it should be this,
in comparison to all these other quarterbacks. We're just not going to give you top of the market because you're next in line. So other teams are asking. Their questions are fine. I don't think it comes to that in any way, shape, or form. I think the Texans are a bit of a soft touch.
I feel like they'd also be selling pretty low on CJ Stroud if you trade him now.
I mean, we know they don't want to trade him, but even if you did, teams are going to be like, "What are you asking for?" Like, I know we want him. I know we say we want him, but we also did actually see what he just did. So
yeah,
we're like, not going to give you what a starting quarterback normally demands. Like, if you go back to the last starting quarterback who was of any real demand that was traded, I guess you could mention Deshaun, and of course that turned into a disaster for the Browns. But the Ravens, they franchise Lamar, that at least gets you two first rounders in exchange. And there are teams who were quick to put out in public, "We don't want them. We don't want them. It's not going to be us, the Falcons. Hey, not us. We're not trading for Lamar Jackson." So even in that case, an established star.
One-time
MVP at the time and had a future MVP in his sights.
Yeah, no real, like, signs of drop-off.
No. They were like, "Nope."
Yeah,
the asking price, the money, and the draft pick compensation is too high. And meanwhile, the Falcons and the Browns are like, "We'll give up everything for Deshaun." So
yeah,
that's a misplay by both, and there are other teams involved in that as well. So CJ isn't even of Deshaun's caliber. Of course, you remove the off the field stuff, but Deshaun was not in a place where people were questioning his play.
Yeah,
he hadn't played in a year because. He wanted nothing to do with the Texans, but the last time we saw him, he was really productive. So it's not like the Texans would be operating from a position of strength if they ever considered it. And it also speaks to what position of strength is CJ's team, not the Texans, his actual team, his agent, when it comes to a negotiation. I don't know that anyone in all the scenarios we could lay out as far as how it's Houston-centric would be operating from a position of strength. The Texans would be desperate to keep their quarterback, or at least keep their quarterback happy. Mulugeta's got a client who currently is one of the, well, Drake May probably took over and Will Campbell as well. But before those two, he was probably the star, not in a good way, of these playoffs.
Yeah.
So I don't know that anyone's standing on solid ground. So maybe coming to the table with the thought that a negotiation needs to happen would be best for all parties. But the NFL has their eyes squarely on Houston to see how this is going to play out.
We said it the week after the New England game. Man, I hope CJ Stroud sees Will Anderson's contract and David Mulugeta puts out like feelers to the media of like, you know, did ruffle some feathers inside Kirby that Will Anderson got his deal and they still hadn't taken care of CJ Stroud. Like, I really hope that they try to get that off. Like, that'd be fun to watch them try to like run the disgruntled star playbook on a guy where feels like everyone's like, "Are you a star?"
Like, we're not even sure.
Yeah, it's like, it's not quite the same as Deshaun in 2020. It's not quite the same as Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville trying to get traded to the Rams. Like, we're not really going for that here.
It's a big 2026 for CJ as far as changing what people think of him, reestablishing himself as one of at least a top 10 quarterback. And Albert Breer throws in at the very end, "Oh, by the way, they did sign Davis Mills to a $7 million extension."
Interesting.
And that got the attention of some teams around the league as well to perhaps suggest that CJ's footing, you throw in Davis Mills' 3-0 stint as a backup. See, he threw it in the article. Perhaps CJ's footing isn't as solid as you think if you have a guy who's capable behind him. We've all seen Davis Mills play. There is certainly a ceiling there. But from the outside, when you're not locked in on it, you see 3-0, you see he kept the team afloat. He did what a backup quarterback, I wouldn't say should do, because
they don't all do that, but he did a great job, yeah. and he was there for the right amount of time for a backup before you get past a point where you start to see some regression and you start to see, you know, all the things that kind of went well for those three games that helped you win them. But there's a reason why you're a backup.
Yeah.
Those things are going to go the opposite way if we continue to expose you out there on the field.
Like the Jags fourth quarter. Awesome. Great. Yeah. Look sweet, Davis Mills. What was it? The Titans game?
Yeah.
And then the Bills game, they had, what was it? They had like 2 yards in the third quarter or something like that.
Yeah,
they won
terrible.
This game yeah. and just parked the bus, so to speak, in soccer terms.
He had a great
they went up and they
back into the
pulled.
Second quarter.
Yeah.
He did. And then, yeah, they pretty much put 11 behind the ball.
Yeah, just boom. We're good.
Yeah.
We can stop Josh Allen it's crazy to say this, but we feel more confident in our ability to just stop Josh Allen from scoring at all than yeah. it is to move the ball forward in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, that Bills team only scored 3 points in that second half, and that's why the Texans beat them 23-19. That's what you do. Chelsea under Jose Mourinho.
Yeah, and you know, maybe parking the bus would have worked against the New England Patriots in the divisional round. We don't know. We'll never know.
We'll never know because the bus driver drove it off the road.
Yeah. The bus, it's more like CJ Stroud, all you have to do is be a bus rider. And
he decided,
in the playoffs, he's like, watch this.
He said Leroy Jenkins that thing and
yeah.
knocked the bus driver out.
I saw Sandra Bullock do this in a movie one time.
Yeah, well, she had Keanu on his shoulder. Well, I talked about it. In fact, you funny you bring that up. It did become a discussion on the morning show that can CJ just be a bus driver? Can he keep it at 55 and not swerve so the bus doesn't blow up? Turns out,
no.
I don't know if he skidded off the road or he took his foot off the gas and it fell under 55, but either way, the bus exploded.
Yeah, no, I think he definitely didn't take his foot off the gas. If anything, the biggest problem was that he was flooring it the
yeah.
entire time.
Yeah, I needed you to be a little bit more steady.
Like, he was trying to win the game with every drop back.
Yeah, the bus exploded because he crashed and the bomb detonated. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what happened.
Exactly. He was going 75 and tried to take a tight left yeah. and just whatever, spiraled.
Yeah, Sandra would never.
No.
Sandy would
Arizona
never.
Wildcats, you kidding me?
Yeah, that's right. I remember. Yeah, that was the school. Called her Wildcat. That became her nickname in the movie. All right, let's get away from the NFL speculating about taking our quarterback.
Well, taking the quarterback off our hands, maybe 50%.
That's ugly.
It's 50%. Right now, it's like CJ Stroud's in the spot where it's like, how dare you talk about our quarterback? Like, he'll never get traded. He's not quite there. It's more in the like, really? All right.
How much are you offering?
Yeah, like. What? Russell Wilson went for 2 firsts and 2 seconds, huh?
Well, it's too much at this point. Right now,
it was a 9-time Pro Bowler.
It's a little too much. What you're asking for, Nick? Come down off that price, because you're not going to pay him like he's worth 2 firsts and 2 seconds.
Yeah,
at least
like,
not
man,
right now.
We just watched Sam Darnold win a Super Bowl with a great defense. We got a great defense, huh?
Yeah, that Kyle Shanahan clip must have hit hurt people. The two defenses in football who win a Super Bowl as long as the other two units, special teams and offense, don't screw it up. He said the Seahawks and the Texans.
He was like, as long as
he played both this year.
He's like, the defenses could alone win the Super Bowl.
Just don't screw it
don't
up.
Don't screw it
and
up.
And what did Sam Darnold do? Didn't screw it up.
No.
And so Kyle Shanahan was right. CJ Stroud could not avoid screwing it up. All right, when we come back, we'll get to some NBA audio. Sean is secret audio, so it's labeled mystery audio, so Sean has not listened to it yet. It's downloaded. All he has to do is play it. You'll hear it as well. Jaylen Brown posed an interesting, well, I wouldn't call it a decision. He just said this has to happen if you get smushed in the face. If you missed it, Detroit and the Hornets, big game, oddly enough. Of course, the Hornets were on a long winning streak. We know they had been playing well. We saw what they did to the Rockets. Also, the Pistons, the number one seed in the East. So they came together in a competitive game, and we had a fight. And Jaylen Brown reacted on his stream. We'll play that sound when we come back. But first, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company.
Look, we had really cold weather in the last couple weeks, and that certainly can affect your pipes. You know, you take all the precautions to make sure nothing bad happens in your home, but sometimes your precautions are not enough. But you also always want to be preemptive. So if you sense a problem occurring, maybe the hot water's not coming out like it should. Maybe you hear something in the pipes when you turn on the faucet. You know where you go. Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Check out what they have to offer at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Because sure, they can fix a problem that occurs, but they can check into things before something small becomes something big. And you can take advantage of the free price quote. So you don't get charged for them figuring out the issue. That's great. No one likes getting hit with the bill when you're just trying to figure out the problem is and it's not even fixed yet. You can call them as well at 281-488-6238. I do recommend going on the website because they do have their drop-down services menu and it shows you all the things they do. They have reviews as well. So you can see the great job they've done for others, whether it's a big job or a small one. You'll see the reviews, and you'll also see that they're their premier repiping company. So if you got an older home and you've got older pipes and you can tell that there's going to be a problem soon and you just want to get this done, they're the people for you. They got great contractors. They've been doing it for a long time, over 1,000 repipes. So you know they'll take care of you at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to the audio, but we got a call. Chris wants to talk some basketball. He wants to talk about Ime and the Rockets. So let's get to Chris, and then we'll get to some of this audio. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning. So I had two questions. Well, I guess one would be a statement, but I was wondering if you guys can break down the matchups tonight against the Clippers. I'm not really sure what their rotation or what they look like since they traded away James. If you can break that down. And then also, doesn't Ime have a track record that's really good? I think within the past two or three years, or either in February or March, where he has a really good like winning stack. I think he goes like 15-0 in one of those months or something like that. But I think it's either February or March. So I'm hoping for something like that to come up. And I hang up and listen. Love the guy's show. Appreciate it. Bye.
So the Clippers in their last game, they did not have Benedict Mathurin. I think he's not on any injury report for tonight. So maybe he makes his Clippers debut. Kawhi, John Collins, Derrick Jones, Brook Lopez, Chris Dunn. Those are your starters. They've won their last couple. Without James, of course, Darius Garland is not expected to be back until later this month. If that, he's dealing with, I believe, a foot injury. So if you're just looking at your opponent, who you expect to see, expect the guys I mentioned. Would you like a little Nicholas Batum? Would you like to see some Kobe Sanders?
Yeah.
Those are the guys. And Yannick Konen Niederhauser.
Yeah, Niederhausen.
Niederhausen.
15 off the bench against Minnesota.
Yannick Konen Niederhauser, a backup big.
Keep an eye on that.
First-round pick from this year. So, of course, with no Zubac, they needed Konen Niederhauser to step up, and he did. 15 points in his last game against the Wolves. So maybe you see some Benedict Mathurin, who is someone. Did the Rockets get into a little back and forth with him in Indiana?
I think. Oh yes, Shingun and.
Oh yeah, they pushed each other.
Yeah, they pushed each other, and Amin played peacemaker, which worked on his rage,
which was surprising
to Craig Ackerman.
To Ackerman. Whoa! What's going on here?
How about that?
Yeah,
it was a little bit like, whoa! You notice that
peacemaking?
Don't see that every day. Amin every
Thompson,
night.
Yeah, trying to keep people separated. Yeah. So we'll
but
see.
But then Mathurin and Shingun had very long post game like hug and chuckle with each other.
All love, right? Yeah. So they should be okay. Mathurin may make his Clippers debut tonight. Yeah. It's a back-to-back, right? They'll play the Clippers twice here. So.
Yep.
So once again, the Rockets will do that thing where they have two wings who can't play back-to-back, so they'll play them in both. They'll play them both in one game and then won't have either one in the next one, right? I expect Tari and DFS, you can call them DFS no matter what. Actually, someone changed it to DFM.
Yeah.
Dorian Finney-Smith. But both DFS and
Tari probably playing tonight, so they won't play in the next one because that makes all the sense in the world. Two wings. You want to be wing depleted.
They can only play one night.
Let's play them both on the same night. Cool.
Sure. All right.
Cool. I guess.
Is this an elaborate ploy that Jayson Tate gets to play 20 maybe, minutes?
Maybe Jayson Tate has some guarantees in the contract and EMA wants to make sure he gets them?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Chris's call about EMA Udoka and there's the one March his first year where they were awesome, where they went like, what was it, like a 12-game winning streak?
It helped them get to 41-41
eventually, yeah. And we pointed out how last year there was a 6-game losing streak in late January, early February, like right about now when the Rockets, I mean, the good news is they're not actually losing these games, but they are playing just as poorly as they were last year. So there could be a little bit of like they just kind of are just trying to get to the All-Star break to recalibrate things or just catch their breath, like just to whatever, because they the way they play like does require a lot of energy every night. So
yeah, I'm looking at the end of January last year into early February. That's when they lost their 6 in a row. To Memphis, to Brooklyn, to the Knicks, to Brooklyn again, to Minnesota, and then at Dallas. So there's some bad teams sprinkled in there.
I think that Minnesota game was one where they're up like 5 with like
I believe that was
five Edwards. Minutes left, and they just
and Edwards
just took over,
losing his mind.
Yeah,
he did that in Houston too, but that one was in Minnesota where they lost 127-114. The long winning streak that Chris is talking about did happen. They went on a big run in March where on March 4th they were 37-25 coming off a loss at the Pacers. March 6th hit through March 30th they wound up 49-26 in that run.
Okay. So they went
well, I do the math, about 12-1.
12-1
in that stretch. So they did have a really good month of March last year as well.
Yeah, okay. So that's two straight March. That's the, two straight? Yeah, two straight Marches where
they've hit their stride.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we get that again. Now, what preceded that was a 3-game losing streak to start off the month of March. So let's hope to avoid that. So they have had good runs in the month of March in Ime Udoka's time here. We'll see if another one is ahead of us. All right. So we are past the time for a break. So we'll go to break. Thanks for the call from Chris. Anyone else want to join us? 713-780-3776. We'll get to the Jaylen Brown sound, the secret audio, and we'll see if we agree with his response after he saw one NBA player, Jalen Duren, mush another NBA player, Musa Diabate, in the face. We'll do that when we come back.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Sean, did you see at least all the important things from the Pistons-Hornets fight?
I think I got the important stuff. There's like three different things going on at one point.
We had the initial trash talking between Diabate and Duren.
Yes.
You had Duren making a move to the basket, the hard foul, the headbutt from Duren to Diabate. Diabate then getting mushed in the face by Duren, then a swing. You had Miles Bridges getting involved, and that set off Isaiah Stewart, who ran off the sideline, which will incur a giant fine and sure a giant suspension. So upset about the matter because I think he considers Duren a brother. He left his ice wraps on his knees. He didn't even take them off to run on the floor. You have two, and you also had this NBA players are commenting on. What type of player are you when something like this happens? Are you a Isaiah Stewart who is all about it, or Duncan Robinson who's like, NBA fights, nothing's going to happen here. I'm not going to get involved. NBA players, at least the ex-ones, have noticed it. The ones who do things that we do, the thing we do here, they've commented on it. Lou Williams said, hey, Duncan Robinson, if your teammates and you sense that they don't trust you going forward, now you know why. I think that's a little much, but whatever. So Duncan Robinson didn't want to get involved. Jaylen Brown wasn't involved, but he watched it
because he has a stream. And what do you do if you have a stream and you're an NBA player? You certainly comment on a fight on the night of that resulted in multiple punches thrown, guys thrown out, in the midst of what was a very competitive game between the best team in the East and a team that was on a long winning streak. So, Sean, you have not heard it. I've done all the requisite things needed to be done to make sure it's on air. Play the audio, and we'll see if we agree with Jalen Brown.
Oh, then he missed him.
That's disrespectful.
Oh, RTB.
Right through the first play. Bunks. Started off.
Tobias Harris.
I ain't gonna. Let's pause it right here. If a dude take his hand.
That's worse than a punch and a slap.
Mush you in your face like that.
The mush is crazy. You got to.
The mush is crazy.
The mush is crazy.
I ain't gonna lie. Somebody got to die.
Jalen Brown says someone's got to die. Sean, do we agree with a guy having a great year? We can't even kill him. He is leading that Celtics team to a record that no one thought they would have. So he's got that in his back pocket. Do we agree with Jalen Brown that if you get mushed in the face, someone, he didn't even say the musher. He just said someone's got to die. Do we agree?
I don't think he's actually calling for capital punishment here.
Okay. So, I don't know.
So I will agree with them in principle. I agree directionally. He's right. I'm not sure if I would go as far as him.
That's someone actually losing their life.
I'm bringing out the guillotine for this, but yeah.
I would agree that getting mushed in the face, you heard his buddies in the background.
The mush is crazy.
The mush is crazy. It's great. I always love.
I just like.
Insert is crazy. I always love that.
I think part of what makes the mush so disrespectful is that it's called the mush.
Yeah. It's called a mush because of how disrespectful the act is.
Yeah. It's the best word for it.
Yeah. You're not.
But it is a very disrespectful
word.
You're
not punching anyone. You're not slapping. It's a level of disdain for you that I'm just going to mush you in the face to get you out of here. I'm not even going to swing on you. I'm not even going to slap at you. Like a normal NBA thing, the headbutt occurred first. Okay, you think maybe a shove, a two-hand shove right in the chest. Jalen Duren has such little respect for Musa Diabate. He mushed him in the face to get him away from him.
That was such a crazy. I'm watching it just on a loop.
Yeah.
That's such a crazy escalation.
Yeah.
Things were going to be like a normal NBA, like,
technicals. Maybe they throw him out for headbutts, whatever. No, everyone's probably playing in the next game.
The mush turned this into
swinging.
This is the most punches thrown in an NBA
in
game
a while.
That I've seen, in many, many years. And a lot of that is due to Isaiah Stewart, who was standing probably 100 feet away from
what he had to see to get involved.
Yeah, no, and have you seen the, screenshots of him, in a full sprint coming up?
He was not playing. And when he was walking in the tunnels, he was at...
Looked like a cheetah.
He was escorted by team personnel back to the locker. He goes... He pretty much said, I'm paraphrasing, this is what the F you drafted me for. What am I doing if I'm not doing this? I'm here to do stuff like this is pretty much what he said. And the funny thing is because people can dig and find everything, you have this version of him, and then you have him taking pictures in the field with his wife. Like, there's the other version of Isaiah Stewart who takes the photos that you were coerced by your significant other to take in a field someplace where you're maybe wearing matching clothes. And that's the other version. But the beef stew version is the one who's going to swing on Miles Bridges.
I mean, he's a man who contains multitudes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a sin.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, I'm not.
I've got levels.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm not a simple
just
man.
Just a rage monster all the time. Sometimes I'm the Hulk. Sometimes I'm Bruce Banner, you know?
But what's the secret, Sean?
Oh, he's always angry.
He's always angry.
That's the thing. Yeah. That's the thing about Isaiah Stewart.
It doesn't take much.
Even with ice packs on his knees, he's still angry.
He's still angry, waiting for a sign of disrespect. And he saw his buddy getting attacked and said, enough is enough. Of course, ignoring the fact that his buddy started this all.
That doesn't matter. I mean, Diabate kind of started it.
The heart foul and then the headbutt, which you might call mutual. But the face.
I think that was mutual.
But the face mush.
Is
an escalator.
Yes, and it puts it in a place where Diabate kind of has no choice but to freak out.
Yeah, you can't allow another man to face mush you and not decide, okay, we got to fight.
Now, Diabate had a little bit of Isaiah Stewart in his game of throwing off the like three different people as they were trying to stop him, and he got back to Durant. Like he closed the gap again to Durant.
There are certain levels to an NBA fight. Certainly Isaiah Stewart, who tried to
like he was doing swim moves on security guards.
He was trying to rush through the entire Lakers, not just the team, Lakers coaches, personnel, to get to LeBron James after LeBron James made him bleed it when they were battling for a rebound at the free throw during a free throw attempt. I forgot by who. Doesn't really matter. But those two got into an altercation where Isaiah Stewart seemed like he wanted to really hurt LeBron. And it was back when Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook
were on the Lakers. Yeah, I was going to say, I think it was it Westbrook or he was just in the thing, just being like, wow.
LeBron was like, you see this guy? What's going on here?
And Westbrook's like, I'm not putting my life on the line to defend LeBron.
I think AD tried. I think that was before they had their problems. Oh, okay. So I think he was trying to defend him. AD was getting in the way as well. So that's we know Isaiah Stewart's about it. And I don't know if Musa Diabate wanted to be, but everyone can see what Durant did to you. You got to show a little bit of, all right, you can't just do that to me and think it's sweet. So he had to get after him.
Minor shout out to Konkanipple. Konkanipple, very involved in. Again, being a peacemaker, of course.
Of course.
But he did not. He wasn't Duncan Robinson.
No.
He put his nose in there.
Duncan Robinson's like, I just got here. I mean, I've been to a couple finals. What are we doing?
Yeah, come on. Me and Herter need to talk things out.
Was like stand off to the side, just dap each other. Hey, man, what's up, man?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, White Shooters Club, just have a conversation. A meeting while these guys are fighting.
Yeah, Knipple's like, I have higher aspirations
than
a white shooter.
Yeah, I don't want to be designated as white shooter for the rest of my life, so I got to get involved, at least be a peacemaker. So that happened. It was a interesting night in the NBA. The Jazz tried to lose but couldn't. We talked about it yesterday. They did the same thing again. They benched Lauri Markkanen and Jaren Jackson Jr. while they had a lead, but Bryce Tensenbaugh was like, actually, I'd like to win this game. So he made a big time three late, and the quote from Bam Adebayo after the game was like, "Yeah, we kind of got to find a way to win these games against teams who I guess are trying to lose."
You're right, Bam.
Yeah, you know what, Bam? You know what? It's best if you know you're scheduled for the play-in again. It's where you've been since 2023. You know what? Maybe don't win the play-in this time. It's a good draft. Maybe you catch some lottery luck and you wind up with the top five pick.
Maybe you can learn a thing or two from the old Utah Jazz.
Yeah. Now,
it didn't really, hasn't helped them any, but, you know, hey, maybe help us out. Get a better draft pick to trade to Milwaukee for your buddy.
Possibly. Although maybe you're sick of your buddy playing this game. And we haven't even talked about the Giannis and the Cauchy thing where Giannis may have been manipulating the market to get money thrown by the public at his new venture.
I'm in the spot where it's like wishful thinking that this wasn't all just a like pump and dump, essentially. Like I'm hoping that it just looks really bad, but it isn't actual like basically insider trading.
Yeah, if you don't know.
I hope it's not insider trading.
It feels like it.
It feels like. I'm just hoping that Giannis did not commit a very serious crime.
But apparently those Cauchy and like Polymarket are not regulated.
Yeah,
like the gambling
it's not
stuff
actually
is.
A crime.
Yeah, so if you don't know, he is an investor in Cauchy, which is you know, a predictor market. So there was a ton of money taken in on whether Giannis was going to get traded. And we know these deals don't happen overnight. So if you just start to, you know, connect the dots, it does appear, considering Giannis's actions after the trade deadline, like he posted the Jordan Belfort thing, I'm not effing leaving, and he talked about how legends attract, whatever he said, on social media.
Oh, yeah. It was something like, I'm not going to be help. I need the help here. It was something about, like, we get guys to come here, not to go over there. Yeah,
he did that. So if we are going by his actions, like he's positioning it as I was never leaving, I'm a buck. And if you were never leaving, but were feeding information to reporters that there was a possibility that you would be leaving, were you possibly playing a little game here?
Yeah,
send money to your new venture.
It's at best very scummy business practices. At worst, it is like, you know, if this was a regulated market, this would be like a very serious crime that you committed.
But he will, you know, skirt by it, come back in 4 weeks whenever he's supposed to come back. We'll see if the Bucks hold him out.
And then they'll trade for a superstar this season and be title contenders next year.
Sure, because he told you. He attracts.
That's what's going to happen.
He attracts stars.
They don't have any picks or any good young players.
No, so while Giannis may be positioning himself like, hey, I never wanted out, just wait. If it's October or November next season, then you're 5-10 or whatever the record is. We'll see.
We might just be right back.
We might be right back at it again. All right, we'll go to break with that. That's hour one complete. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. We'll get into some Rockets because KD sat with Hakeem Olajuwon. It's part of a collaboration between Boardroom, which is his podcast, and the Rockets. They sat and talked for quite a bit. We'll hear from KD on that. We'll also hear from KD back from the weekend when he was playing against his old team. He had a statement about a fan. At least he talked to the fan about it. I don't believe he is correct. It feels like he just said something. But we'll investigate that, much like we investigated the Jaylen Brown thing. We'll get to that in the second hour. We will be back.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.